words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Today's sermon is the haves and have-nots. In this week's Gospel of Christ, we read of the parable of the Great Supper. Rejection is a common theme in the Holy Scriptures, and we all face rejection in life, don't we? But it's especially the rejection that Christ Jesus by his Father's chosen people, the Israelites. The theme for today's parable is an invitation to the Great Supper to dine with the certain man in his home. All the initial guests declined the invitation. Then the certain man opened his home and invited all the people in the city to his dinner table. At a certain point in the conversation with the chief of the Pharisees, Jesus mentions the resurrection. At the hearing of this, he jumped to his feet with joy, for he knew the blessed feast that was prophesied by the prophets of the Old Testament had come true. The prophets had foretold of the breaking of bread in the kingdom of God. The chief Pharisee understands the great messianic feast to be given by God to his chosen people when he comes to set up his kingdom on earth. But the chief Pharisee missed the point. So Christ begins to help him understand what God is really doing. In verse 15, which precedes today's gospel lesson, we read, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.'" The breaking of bread at the banquet table is symbolic of the breaking of bread at the altar of God. It is symbolic of having eternal communion with God and illustrates the first and second coming of Christ. The first represents his birth, where Jesus was sent by his Father to make believers and convert the faithful, while the second is represented by the Great Supper, which is served at the end of the day, representing the end of the church age, which we are now in. This is the great messianic feast. The first invitations were held for the Jews, God's chosen people, while the second invitation was for the Gentiles and all mankind. The early church fathers saw three excuses in this parable. The first excuse was, "I have bought a piece of land and I need to tend to it." This represents a devotion to earthly wealth and is symbolized by this piece of land. The second excuse is, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove or test them." This excuse symbolizes the Jews' devotion to the first 5 books of the Old Testament, otherwise known as the Pentateuch or the Law of Moses. The third excuse is, "I have married a wife, so I cannot come." And this symbolizes a man's devotion to himself and his flesh. What cannot go unnoticed is that the invitation represents a decision. It is a decision that we all must make. We all have received the invitation to the great banquet. We all have received the invitation to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. But there will be few who will accept the invitation. In Matthew 22:14, we read, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Now let us examine the three excuses more closely. The first excuse is represented by a man who is devoted to his earthly wealth and his business. He is too involved in farming and developing of his property. This man allowed his business, his profession, and his personal affairs to consume his life. God demands to be at the center of our lives, and everything else is categorized as idolatry. In Matthew 16:23, we read, "For what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Again, in Titus 1:16, we read, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." The second excuse is represented by a man who bought 5 oxen and becomes too wrapped up in his possession. The owner wanted to more closely examine his oxen and prove or train them. examples of oxen in today's world are such things as cars, boats, books, clothes, and the world of other material things. If we're not careful, these things consume us, and to God, they are nothing more than idolatry. In Luke 21:34, we read, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that judgment day arrives with you unaware." And also in 1 John chapter 2, we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world." The third excuse is represented by the man who has just taken unto himself a bride. This man refuses the invitation because he is too wrapped up in his family. He has just married, yet true marriage is not put before God. No social events, no family affairs, no baseball games, no football games, no NASCAR racing, no leisure time with family, no fishing trips should be ranked higher than God. In Luke 14:33, we read, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." In Deuteronomy 10, we read, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways every Sunday of the year, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And in Matthew 16 we read, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." After being rejected three times, the guests showed general contempt for the invitation. The certain man we read about, who we know as God the Father, sends his servants out into the streets and lanes of the city to invite everyone else. The great messianic banquet includes guests from the highways and byways of the world, from the hedges, not just the Jews, but God's chosen people. But also the Gentiles and the heathen are now invited to the banquet along with the Jews. The invitation to the banquet is like the invitation to the altar at the Holy Eucharist to those who are baptized and have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. All people who respond to God's invitation will be welcome to the kingdom of God. The significance of the Great Supper for all who accept his invitation is that once the banquet hall or heaven is filled, there will be no more room, no more time, and things as we know it will end. The doors of the banquet hall will be closed and sealed forever. God, who is represented in this parable as a certain man, will have the final say. The rejected God will now become the rejecter. This is a sad but fitting pronouncement. The Lord says that not a single decliner of my invitation shall taste of my supper, and there is no second chance. This is similar to the parable of the wicked vine dressers in St. Luke chapter 20, where we read, "The stone which the builders rejected had become the chief cornerstone." And in 1 Corinthians 6, we read about the rejectors who, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortionists, shall inherit the kingdom of God." Here God does not mix words. He makes it quite plain and simple. But the choice is ours to make. Unlike conventional wisdom, God does not condemn us. Rather, we condemn ourselves. Our God is a benevolent Heavenly Father who loves us with all His heart. He loved us so much that He gave us His only Son to die on the cross as a propitiation for our sins. And our sins are forgiven if we only repent and believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. We will share in a great supper and inherit a great kingdom if we strive to obey His commandments. So the choice is ours to make. We can be the haves or the have-nots. This decision rests with us. And I invite you, if you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to do so, and to ask your friends this week that very question. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.